Kia ora, Kofo Smithahu. Nau mai ki te whare, welcome to the house. You might think the budget was oh so yesterday, but as the carpenters schmaltzed in the 70s, we've only just begun. The budget debate in Parliament takes place over a few weeks. After and during that are dozens of select committee hearings and then more debates. The budget won't be formally approved by Parliament for a few months yet. In fact, well after the financial year it relates to has already begun. But it's also just cresting the horizon in another sense, because the budget also begets other legislation.
I move that this debate be now adjourned.
Traditionally, some of that legislation is debated immediately and under urgency, cutting in before the actual budget debate's barely begun. So on Thursday evening, the MPs did not retreat to the regions, but kept on debating, and then came back for more on Friday morning. Let's have a quick look through the bills being considered under urgency.
Taxation, cost of living payments bill introduction, income insurance scheme enabling development.
There were six bills introduced, five of them to pass all stages, and one aiming at just the first reading.
Commerce, grocery sector covenants amendment bill introduction.
Not all the bills are even enormously contentious. Some are pretty bland.
And coroner's coronial cap amendment bill introduction.
But there is a tactical structure to this. The Leader of the House appears to have put the most contentious bills up first, giving the opposition something to get their teeth into, maybe to wear them out shouting so that the pace of debate can pick up as they go.
On top of that, they're going to spend the money that they get through the emissions trading scheme. They're going to spend it on a whole bunch of climate change initiatives, including ribbon-cutting ceremonies for big business.
Certainly, the volume for the first bill was impressive, even if the debating points only occasionally related to the actual bill at hand. That first bill aims to enable cost of living top-ups for people earning under 70 grand a year, a policy that caught a lot of attention despite being a pretty tiny element of the budget. Debating it took Thursday evening and an hour or so of Friday morning. It passed all stages with National and ACT opposed, Labour and Te Pāti Māori in favour, and the Greens abstaining.
The government, working alongside Business New Zealand and the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions, has consulted on an income insurance scheme to support workers who lose their jobs through no fault of their own.
Next was a bill to allow ACC to investigate creating an unemployment insurance scheme. Despite the debating points, it doesn't actually create the scheme itself. It too passed all stages, and again with National and ACT opposed, Labour and Te Pāti Māori in favour, and the Greens abstaining. And the pace of debate increased, so that this bill was nearly completed by lunchtime on Friday. And then the first reading only of a bill that will be considered by Select Committee. This bill seeks to eliminate one way that supermarket companies work to prevent competition in their very profitable sector by putting covenants on land. Covenants that prevent that land being used by competitors. Because you can't compete in the grocery sector unless you can open large shops on ideally placed sites. The bill declares all such covenants to be anti-competitive and therefore illegal.
Even on their most conservative estimate, that duopoly was taking $1 million a day in excess profits each and every day of the year out of New Zealanders' pockets.
Three down, three to go. And now we get into the much less contentious bills, like a bill to tidy up the payments charged for a whole skein of different registers run by the company's office. It's really not exciting legislation and also not exactly a political powder keg. And a bill that amends the customs and excise law around tobacco to properly include various types of tobacco water, such as are used in a hookah. And finally, a bill about as uncontentious as it's possible to be, one that simply increases the number of coroners. So those were the budget-related bills that were debated under urgency. But what about the actual budget and the budget debate? Here are a few quick notes on budgets at Parliament.
Appropriation 2022-23 Estimates Bill Introduction.
In that seminal work of English literature, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams comments on the size of the universe. He begins, "Space is big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is. I mean, you may think it's a long way down the road to the chemists, but that's just peanuts to space." The budget is similar.
For a family that fills up an average car every week, that represents up to $17 per tank, or more than $220 worth of support, over the 3 months.
You may never have seen an edition of the budget document in paper form, but it is quite literally something you could use as a foundation under your house.
To extend half-price public transport to the more than 1 million community services cardholders on a permanent basis.
The budget consists of numerous volumes called votes, each as large as Auckland's old Yellow Pages phone book.
Also delivering on a manifesto commitment by more than trebling the level of dental grants available to low-income earners to $1,000 per annum.
In his speech, the Minister of Finance usually backgrounds the fiscal position and then highlights dozens of notable spending items like these. There were enough things to note that the speech took 41 minutes, and that's about normal for any finance minister.
And $73 million to deliver more insulation and heating retrofits for low-income owners by extending the Warmer Kiwi Homes program.
And yet, having listened through his speech, there are still a number of large spending items I'm aware of that were not mentioned. There was just too much to list.
The largest investment ever in our health system, with $11.1 billion in new funding.
Basically, governments and countries, even small ones, are complex. And budgets, all governments' budgets, are boggling in scope and complexity.
Pharmac's total funding will be $1.2 billion, which is up 43% since we took office.
This year's budget, like all budgets, is a huge document. It covers the divvying up of a number of billion dollars. And unless you actually read through a lot of Treasury documents, you are unlikely to have much idea what's really in it.
This will include a further investment for the rebuild of Whangarei Hospital and the initial works to redevelop Nelson Hospital.
The media gets 3 or so hours of briefing on it in what's referred to as a lock-up prior to the budget announcement, and yet media coverage of the budget will give you only the barest idea of what it includes. Given the scope of it all, journalists are forced to focus on just a few items. Which items they choose can be instructive, but they couldn't possibly review it all. And that is one of the reasons why the very lengthy process of select committee hearings that will now begin into the budget are so important.
This funding includes $1 billion for public and transitional housing, $355 million for changes to the emergency.
Once the budget is delivered, the Finance and Expenditure Committee, the elder brother of select committees, considers the budget volumes, the spending topics, votes as they're called, and divvies them up among the various subject committees. It can split them however it likes, and sometimes it reserves something odd or interesting for itself. But typically, all 12 subject select committees are handed over the areas of spending that relate to their specialist area, and each of them will drill down into that planned spending in order to grill the relevant ministers on their plans. And afterwards, when they've compiled their findings, there will be further speeches and questions in the House. And after all of that, it's just possible that MPs will have more idea what's in the budget. Which is lucky, because for backbench MPs from any party, monitoring and approving the appropriation and the spending of money in the budget is one of the most crucial parts of their job. Now, on Thursday afternoon, after the Minister of Finance had gone through some of his top picks for spending, the actual budget debate began. First up in the debate are the party leaders. For those not in government, they also have very little pre-warning of the budget content, not really enough time to both form opinions and then also write speeches, but you go with what you have. And the main job of the Leader of the Opposition is to try to create a narrative about a spending plan that he hasn't really had time to pore over yet. Leader of the Opposition, Christopher Luxon.
Now I have to say, we had a moment. We thought about calling it the budget blowout budget. Then we thought about maybe it's just the band-aid budget. But we landed on the backwards budget. Because when you cut through all the words and you strip out all the spin and you look at the facts of it, the sad news for New Zealanders is that Kiwis are going backwards, the books are going backwards, and the outcomes are going backwards.
Alongside the rebuttal and campaigning, Christopher Luxon has another responsibility. As first respondent and leader of the opposition, he proposes an alternative motion, one that includes the parliament having no confidence in the government. The budget is one of very few occasions each year that the opposition is positively encouraged to try and remove the government from office.
I move that all the words after that be replaced with "this House and the people of New Zealand have lost confidence in this government because this budget takes them backwards. The books are going...
The safest way to pre-write a speech in response to an unknown policy is to focus on your own fantasy version of the document, something that both ACT and the Green Party did. Here's ACT's leader, David Seymour.
What he had to do was give relief from the cost of living crisis, light at the end of the tunnel, and hope to those people who get their money from doing something called working. Unfortunately, he did no such thing. Mr. Speaker, what Grant Robertson basically said was, I will continue to satisfy my insatiable appetite for government spending.
Green co-leader James Shaw also outlined his ideal version of a world created by green budgets. But first, he did the traditional comedy-focused kickoff.
The leader of the opposition before delivered a speech that wasn't so much 2022 as 1992. They reckon that they can help out New Zealanders' lowest income families by giving our highest income earners a tax break. Ruth Richardson called and she wants her speech notes back.
The speaker this year for Te Pāti Māori was Debbie Ngarewa-Packer.
Tēnā koe te pika.
I called Debbie Ngarewa-Packer.
That is the first time I've stood up with ACT clapping. When we look across our world as tangata whenua on the 19th of May 2022, this is what we see. A landscape where we once owned 100% of our whenua, now we own less than 4%. One third of people on the dole are Māori. 65% of women in prisons are Māori, and they were put there for just trying to survive and feed their tamariki.
The only one of the party leaders fully apprised of the budget details is the Prime Minister. We're out of order here. Jacinda Ardern spoke immediately after the Leader of the Opposition, and because she's got COVID, did so via video link. In the chamber, there are a couple of huge TVs propped up at the back of the opposing front benches, and MPs speaking via Zoom turn up on both of them. This meant that in the House on Thursday, the National Party caucus was joined for 20 minutes by the much magnified head of the Prime Minister floating behind them and enthusing about spending priorities like a political ghost at the feast.
Mr. Speaker, the business and cycle of government is in some ways no different to life itself. Navigating difficult times while also making necessary progress. Dealing with the unexpected and always, always planning for the future. Challenges not least of which include a 1-in-100-year health crisis, followed by the biggest economic shock since the Great Depression. And just as the world was recovering, it's been plunged into the uncertainty of war.
Once the leaders had all had a crack, the House adjourned the budget debate to get cracking on those urgent bills. But when Parliament returns after a week off, it will pick back up where it left off, and most of the remaining MPs will also get a crack at that vast tome called the budget. You've been listening to The House. It's a whakarongo koe ki te whare.
He hotake a poake nā teitahi pūtia āwhina. Nō mai, i te pāramata. Mātua.